Can't get away from the fact I've been slacking all. Despite the cost, you know I got to trot on, trot on.
The past murders of the shepherd, they're holding that, something else and keep it from...
Impress in the flesh. Get this started. It's crazy terrible. Oh my, get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the morning fast, and all the folks between the churches.
What up, Dynasty players in the house? That was the Hindenburg and the NFL season and our fantasy season and every quarterback in football bursting into flames all at the same time. What's up, Austin Bell? How are you?
What's up, Jesse? Man, I'm doing pretty good. At this point, I feel pretty numb to the injuries. So, like, I must have, like, my fire retardant suit on, and I'm just going week by week at this point. It just feels like, oh, another week I got to trade somebody I don't want to trade to try and win a championship.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think all of the non-playoff teams with shit to trade don't have shit to trade anymore because it's already happened.
Yes. It's a mess, man. I don't even know how to explain it other than, like I said, I just feel numb to it. Like, I lost Herbert in five contenders, including three of them that I traded Burrow away to get Herbert. So but hey, here we are. Fantasy playoffs are here. This is what we all play for. and that and non-playoff teams got their draft orders figured out. So it's an exciting time.
Right on. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, sir. So this is the Dynasty War Games. I am your host, Jesse Schneeman. And this is my co-host, Austin Bell. A little bit of a different opening. I thought we'd do something a little different just because man, this is the worst week that I can remember. I feel like this one was really bad with just Tyreek and Waddle going out, Stroud, Nico, obviously Herbert, Josh Jacobs went out, didn't come back in.
JJ.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. So.
Yeah, but he probably cost a lot of people a playoff spot.
Probably did. I mean, how do you, if you're fighting for a playoff spot and Justin Jefferson's finally back, how do you bench him?
Exactly.
You know, I personally could not live with myself with Justin Jefferson on the bench. I'm going out with my best.
I started him in some super flex spots because of so many quarterback injuries. I'm like, got him back, let's go. And then, he scored me the same as Herbert. So I had some, sick combos and sick combos right there.
I needed to win and two other guys to lose to get into playoffs in a money league, redraft league, and all that happened. But then I lost because Herbert went down. I lost on tiebreaker for points by like seven.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah, we one of my IDP dynasty leagues. There was six teams playing for the final two spots, and it was one person had to win one, playing the median as well. So one person had to win one, but everybody else could go between 1-1 or 2-0 and make the playoffs. And my team finally had a good week, even with Herbert, highest scoring team of the week, and ended up getting the 5 seed, but the median,
it's
crazy. The median, there were 6 teams within 3 points of the median, and 5 of them were playoff fighting teams. So, with IDP, stat corrections are huge.
I never thought about that.
It's going to be really interesting what happens tomorrow, Wednesday.
Stat corrections come out tomorrow?
Yeah, 1 a.m. Wednesday is usually about the time it kicks. So it can get really interesting, like these playoffs and, draft pick slots could easily shift considerably on these close matchups. But it's a lot more you notice it a lot worse with IDP leagues where you have the tackles, assist tackles, they take sacks away a lot more, stuff like that. So, it was chaos, man. The chat was going crazy. There were 5 or 6 of us talking back and forth, and I made it in because one person missed the median by 3 points. So I'm sitting here like, oh my gosh, you know, if this Dak Prescott comes out and one of his guys gets a sack, I don't make the playoffs.
Wow.
So yeah, it was fun. It was a blast. You know, two games I didn't really care about at all. Made me sit there and watch them like glue.
So you have a trade you wanted to talk about, right?
I do. Superflex, full PPR. Only other big bonus is 1.0 tight end premium. I'm the one seed up like 600 points on anybody else for points scored on the season. And the four seed came to me asking if I wanted Jonathan Taylor. Obviously the name JT is quite intriguing, especially because my running backs are Mixon, Swift, Barkley, Dobbins, and then a couple other, you know, bench guys that you start here or there. So I didn't really have a young stud that I felt good about when I have multiple studs everywhere else. So I ended up making the deal. It was Saquon and Njoku for JT and a third.
Oh, that's a great deal.
Yeah, value for value, it feels great. I agree totally. But I can play this guy after my bye week in week 16 if he wins next week. And it just feels disgusting if Saquon and Njoku beat me.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure JT's supposed to be back for week 16.
Correct.
Are you trusting him to start him?
It's him or Devonta Smith would be who I would probably replace him with if he's not in. So
that's, you know, tough. The Eagles' schedule is getting pretty soft.
Yeah. At this point. Exactly. So I didn't need, you know, Njoku was my fourth tight end. Well, second at the moment with injuries, but, you know, I have Kelce, Pitts, Kincaid, Waller, and I had Njoku. So it was, you know, he was a luxury to begin with. And just like I said, getting JT felt great for the dynasty aspect of it, but going into the playoffs and I'm playing, you know, I'm likely playing this guy week 16. It could be quite interesting by that Monday night.
Saquon has got a very low floor as well, though, because the offense can be so bad.
Yeah, agreed.
Although, I mean, I guess the offensive line's coming around a little bit. DeVito's playing well, moving around.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, 23 touches for Saquon is a good way for them to progress the ball down the field.
Yeah, I agree. Couldn't agree more. That's a good trade. I get nervous making a trade like that in the playoffs because I don't like asking myself, like, what if? And I like to roll with the guy I have. If it's a stud for a stud, I like to roll with the guy I have. That way I'm not, you know,
asking
myself what if. But for the future of your team, it's very, really hard to turn down.
Yeah, it's believe me, I'm scared, honestly. I played the same guy this past week. I beat him by 55. But again, all it takes is 1 week. We've seen it so many times in Dynasty, and just takes 1 week, and all of a sudden you're sitting there playing for third place.
Absolutely. I hear you, man. I think it's a good trade.
Thanks. We'll see. That's right. But we got a good show tonight.
We do have a good show tonight. We're going to continue. This is part two from last week. We're going to continue reviewing some Patreon leagues and doing a playoff preview. Let's recap Patreon 3 real quick, though. There were a lot of teams fighting for the last two playoff spots. And we said at the time that Watsonberger and Snoop were the class, basically, of that tier. And both of those guys made it in.
Heck yeah.
So congratulations, guys. So,
absolutely, congrats. I see looks like you got the sixth seed in that. Is that what I'm seeing correct?
Is that right? Did I end up with I lost, so that makes sense. I played the top team.
Yeah, it looks like you got the sixth seed by point differential over San Diego Demons.
Okay. I guess that doesn't really matter much to me. To me, it's like, since there's no home field advantage, if you don't get a bye, all that matters is if you make the playoffs or not.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. If I wasn't a top two team going into last week, all I wanted to do was to make sure I made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be going up against Watsonberger this week. McKringleberry and Steve Bean Doggy got the byes, and Snoop is going to play Benjamin Holler.
Two good matchups.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So why don't we look at Patreon 2? We didn't do Patreon 2 last week because we just didn't put it on the docket because we thought Mike was going to be here. And Mike and I happen to be the top two teams in that league. And we didn't want it to dissolve into just us arguing about who has the best team.
Yeah, so, nobody wants to hear that. Yeah. Me especially.
Mike's studying for a final right now. So we're going to go over Patreon 2.
Let's do it.
Yeah, second.
I looked through it. It's interesting. It's definitely a little top heavy. But there are a couple other teams when I was looking through that were kind of interesting, mm-hmm. and including one that I really like. I don't know. I don't think they're championship ready yet, but I do really like the team. So I'm going to be curious what you'll say about it.
Okay, right on. So this was my first ever startup, believe it or not. And this also my first ever rebuild.
About halfway into that. Hand in hand.
So I've now come out of my year and a half, 2 year rebuild, and I'm competing. So, but let's start with Mike's team. He's at the top. Mike's 28 and 0.
Sorry,
yeah. Go through his roster.
It's pretty ridiculous, to be honest. Mahomes, Allen, and Stafford at quarterback. McCaffrey, Eckler, A-Chain, Pollard, McKinnon, Cook, Foreman, Barkley at running back. Chase, Evans, Tyreek, Jaden Reed, Cooper Kupp, Debo, McLaurin, Judy, Gabe Davis at receiver, Kelsey, Pitts at tight end, Pat F, and Schultz. I mean, it's pretty insane, and I noticed he's only missing his 24 first and has all that. I mean, he's missing a couple later round picks here and there, but, you know, of real value, it's only missing his 24 first. And, you know, it's a ridiculous roster when you go through and you can name almost the whole bench being relevant players.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got Saquon, Debo, TMC, Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper all on his bench.
Yeah, it's a wild roster. It's got a good mix of age and youth, but it is getting towards the end of his elite tier time without him replacing some of these guys. But that being said, I mean, that's a rocking roster. You can see why it's 28-0.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. So he's had this crazy roster for a couple of years now, and he's lost in the
finals
or the playoffs 2 years.
Always pulling for a Mike loss in the playoffs.
So that's why his name is Extremely Salty Thirds.
Love to see it.
Yeah, I guess 2 years ago he came in second. Last year he came in third, but Dreamcatcher went undefeated last year. So, I mean, hard to argue with an undefeated team beating you. You know?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go over team two.
That is Mr. Jesse himself. Got Tua, Mr. Jake Browning, and Mac Jones. You have the whole Patriots dynamic quarterback room with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. Love to see that. And you unfortunately lost Justin Herbert. And you have Kenny Pickett. Yes, that's obviously devastating. It really puts a damper. But hopefully the guy that you just traded for, which we can go ahead and just mention since we're at the QBs, the trade you just
made. I just made this trade before the show.
And what was it?
So, yeah, I got John Browning in a fifth for Roschon Johnson. Go ahead.
It feels a little strong, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I feel like he made you overpay.
He wanted two thirds, and he originally asked for Roschon, and he was getting the fifth.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He called it first place tax, and then I reminded him that I'm in second place.
That's right. Yeah, I was able to get Browning for in two leagues for a fourth. So that feels a little strong, but every league's different. And sometimes, you know, the non-contending teams know that, hey, you don't have many other options. Either pay it or don't.
Well, he's not even a non-contending team. And his biggest reservation is that he could be – yeah, this is Snoop. He could be playing me in 2 weeks.
Which is very true.
So I've got to buy. He can't play me this week. But, yeah. You know.
I love it even more in his thought process.
Yeah, and I couldn't argue with that. Right. But, you know, but the way I got the fifth back onto my side was by saying, hey – he said, all right, well, I'm a little hesitant because Browning could keep balling and I could have to face you with him and you could beat me. And I said, okay, that's true. He may or may not keep balling. He may or may not face me. But what is definitely true is that in 3 weeks, he's going to go back to being a backup and have zero value.
Correct. That's absolutely true. Yeah, I mean, it's for sure. It's tough to do on your side of it. It's really smart on his side of it. Non-contenders, hope you're listening. This is what you need to do. And especially if you're that, like his instance, that 5-6 seed, you know, if the big boys come calling to you, make them pay for it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what it cost.
Yeah. I was stuck. You know, I'm not trading Herbert. I just made up my mind from the start. No one has any interest in Pickett. Don't blame. So without depleting my team that I'm bringing out of a rebuild of draft picks that I don't really want to do. You know, I'm without my first this year already, but I don't want to trade. And I traded a first already last week to move off of Trevor and get Tua and move up to CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm done trading a shitload of picks. At this point, I have a bunch of seconds, but I need these picks, right? So
I feel that.
I offered Pickett and a second for numerous quarterbacks, and everybody kind of laughed at me. It was Goff, Love, just the guys that were available that are out there. Just Goff, Love, and Howell was the other one.
Yeah,
and nobody wants Pickett. Nobody wants anything to do with Pickett. Basically, like, whatever that quarterback is worth, you can also throw in Pickett as well if you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is kind of the sentiment that I got. Like, there wasn't really any market for adding to Pickett to get to any quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with it too. It's he's probably a good buy because he's most likely the quarterback there next year if that's the price point. But I also understand that, you know, there's no reason to view him as much value right now because he could easily get benched next year too.
Yeah. He's got good weapons. If they bring in a good OC, creative, and can work with his skill set, I don't think he's a bad quarterback.
No, I mean, he's probably another Mac Jones, to be completely honest with you.
I think he's a little better than Mac Jones.
I mean, we've seen better from Mac Jones than we have from Pickett, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I
don't like either one of them. So that's
I don't see how Mac Jones was expected to succeed this year with the,
absolutely agree with that.
With the weapons he was given.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why, by the way, hold all of your Mac Jones shares. I wouldn't suggest buying him, but there's a chance that a new regime comes in next year and he wins them over. They like him, or he's their cheapest option.
Yeah.
You know, because the Patriots aren't really going to be high enough to draft a top quarterback. Maybe if they like the Michigan guy or something, or Bailey, or the Oregon guy, something like that.
Yeah,
but
Jaden Daniels from LSU, Mr. Heisman winner.
I actually think he's going to probably end up going pretty high.
Oh, I agree, but the Patriots aren't. I mean, they only have 3 wins on the season, isn't that right?
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're top 5 right now.
Maybe they can get up there and take a guy. But there's a chance that Mac Jones has a job. So I would at least hold him. I wouldn't suggest going out and buying him. yeah, anyway, let's go through my team.
Let's do it. So you have, as previous spoken, Jonathan Taylor, ETN, DeAndre Swift, Zach Moss, Jerome Ford, Brian Robinson, Pacheco, at running back. At receiver, you have A.J. Brown, C.D. Lamb at the 1-2 stack. Beautiful looking. Chris Olave, just hopefully Nico.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's about it at receiver. Then you have Hockenson and Njoku at tight end. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. You unfortunately lost Tank Dell.
So, yeah, Herbert, Tank Dell, Musgrave, Dulcich, Pickett, all of my IRs are pretty rough.
It is. It's still a really good team. Losing Herbert is devastating with this roster because having the two top 10 quarterbacks weekly just makes such a high floor that you can have these guys that the studs like A.J. Brown and C.D. and Hawk that can just float you weeks. It's rough to lose that, but hopefully Mr. Glass Slipper himself, Jake Browning, can keep going for a couple more weeks and keep you floating.
Yeah, so that was my cheapest option. That's what I got to go with. Hey, if it doesn't happen, I still have Tua and Herbert and all these young players going to next
absolutely.
Year. Second, so.
Did you try Flacco first?
Flacco is on Neil's team, who's the third seed.
Okay. And he's starting. I assumed he was on a contender.
Yeah. And he's starting him. So, no, I didn't even try.
Okay. That's... Yeah. Here, I just clicked on it. I see the first name I see.
Yeah. I kind of have to be a jerk to go after Neil's starting quarterback. He'd laugh at me. But go on. Go on. Let's talk about Neil's team since he's third.
Okay. QB, he has Joe Flacco. He has Lamar. And he has Geno. And he does have Aiden O'Connell, but. Yeah, not going to start him. And he's got Rashad White, Jaylen Warren, David Montgomery, Mostert, and Damian Pierce, Charbonnet at running back, Calvin Ridley, Sutton, Zay Flowers, OBJ, you should know that. At receiver, that's pretty much the names of note. And then at tight end, has Chig, and Juwan Johnson. So you can see a big tier difference between the two teams we spoke previously in this one. That being said, he still does have guys that can give you 20 plus point games, and as you know, he's a third seed, so obviously it's been working this season.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some performers on this team. I would just say. I'd give him a puncher's chance.
So. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. I mean, it's not as a pretty or flashy as a team, but at the end of the day, the goal is to score points. And if that's what your team does, then it's a good way to win weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a good team. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know that I believe that Flacco is going to keep playing this well. There's a reason why he was out of the league. You know.
Yeah, but it's a pretty decent offensive scheme and pretty solid weapons around him. So it's not like he has to do too much. That's kind of my thought process with it. He's not being asked to do a lot. Just hit the open person. And luckily the players there on that team are able to get open.
Yeah, he's got good weapons with Njoku, Cooper, Elijah. He's obviously that Elijah Moore connection is real. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Not that I think Moore is going to put up flashy numbers, but he's been moving the sticks for him, you know, making important plays.
Yeah, he's just a good NFL receiver. That's plain and simple.
Yeah, right. Good, not great.
Correct.
Not Pro Bowl, but a player that teams need. You know, somebody like I said to move the sticks. And then Cedric Tillman's actually starting to put up some. Actually starting to get into the game and look pretty good when he gets touches. I haven't been a lot of them. But, you know, the 1-2 punch of Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt is good enough, like, again, just to keep the sticks moving.
Correct.
With their defense, I guess it makes it a lot easier to play behind the sticks. And one thing I will say about Flacco is, you know, he hits his back foot and the ball's out. He's on time with everything. He sees so many quarterbacks holding the ball, running around, pump faking, just not committing to trying to throw the ball into a tight window. And I think Flacco's pretty YOLO at this point. If I throw an interception, who the hell cares?
Exactly. I'm throwing the ball. What are they going to do, bench him? I mean, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
I'm 40. I got my ring. Let's throw some passes, baby. But still, at the same time, this could come crashing back to earth at any moment.
Of course. Yep, absolutely. And it most likely will. But until then, you ride it and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Could be a Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. I once won a fantasy champion, a dynasty championship with Davis Mills in a two quarterback league.
Yep. It's definitely doable.
You remember that, don't you?
Yes, I ignored it. There's a difference.
So should you think Neil should like try to make any moves? He doesn't have a lot of picks.
Yeah, that's
later picks.
Kind of the issue with it that I was looking is there's just not much you can really do. I mean, it'd be nice to get a better tight end, but at what cost, you know? I mean, you don't really have a lot on the bench that you can handle losing to move something. So, no, not really. If anything, I would just hope you can win a week, get to the money round, and you never know what happens after that.
Right. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I don't think I'd make any moves with this team either because you're just – you're leveraging yourself too far to go for something that's too kind of too much of a long shot.
Yeah, I agree.
But nice 20-8 season, Neil. Good job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a unorthodox team that has proven to work. At the end of the day, you know, the goal is to win, and he's done it way more times than he's lost.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, let's look at Memphis.
Yeah, boss man himself. It's a pretty interesting team.
He took over an orphan, was the champion. This was Dreamcatcher's team, undefeated last year.
Gotcha. Yeah, he started off the season very unlucky. Four snaps in, lost Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like he didn't do much to replace that void. Has Dak Prescott, which has, I'm sure, been floating him. And then, you know, has Clayton Tune, Jimmy G, Tyler Huntley. And then A-Rod at the quarterback position. So I'm assuming majority of weeks he's starting a positional player at Superflex.
Yeah. So I will say that quarterbacks don't score a lot in this league.
I noticed that.
It's 4-point passing touchdowns. So it's just not a high-scoring league. So players like Dak Prescott scored 17.9 points this past week.
Yeah, and I mean Gibbs just 1 point behind him with 11 for 66 and a touchdown and 3 for 16 on the ground.
So it's reasonable to start Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's where I was about to go. He has enough weapons to do it. That's where I was heading to.
Yeah.
I agree. He does have enough weapons that he can float that because, I mean, even on the bench, which I'll go through the roster first, but on the bench, he's got multiple assets that are startable in a super flex spot. You know, he has Zeke and Najee, Brees, Gibbs, Josh Jacobs, James Conner at running back. I mean, that's a hefty stable right there with Keenan, Devontae Adams, Christian Watson. Thielen at receiver, unfortunately lost Mark Andrews, but luckily had Jake Ferguson sitting there, so he's been plug and playing with him, and does have Isaiah Likely as the backup, so did good there preparing that and got himself safe. You know, if Ferguson's hurt or anything, you can plug in Likely. It's a really solid roster. Sucks not having that second quarterback just for the plug and play weekly, but as mentioned, he does have enough other pieces that, you know, just pick one every week and see if they can get you that 12 to 15 points.
Yeah, but otherwise pretty thin.
Yeah, I mean, it's got 3 or 4 bench pieces that are fine to start.
I guess. James Conner. I miss James Conner there. Yeah, you're right. Conner, Thielen.
And then Likely, you know, one of the two tight ends, obviously it would have been Ferguson when Andrews was starting. So, you know, it's a couple pieces on the bench that any week you should be able to get 10 points out of one.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. And there are, you know, you are at risk of not getting 10 points out of a quarterback in this league. So
gotcha. Yeah, it's a solid roster.
Sucks losing Keenan. Well, sucks losing
Herbert. Yeah, I'm really curious. Yeah, it's he got, but at the same time, he's kind of getting a little lucky with Zeke all of a sudden getting this huge role.
True.
So it kind of flip-flops going down way around.
Yeah, it's true. Right on. Watson could be out again. I guess you start Thielen? Maybe James Conner?
I'd probably start Conner. Until I see that Carolina's figured out how to get Thielen back open from what defenses have been doing to him, I don't feel good about starting him. You know, it's not like they're going to have many touchdown opportunities, so you can't be like, oh, well, Thielen will get a touchdown, because that probably won't happen either.
Last week was the first week that Connor did anything, though. He's been under 10 PPR points forever.
He was on bye last week. But, yes, before that, you're correct.
Sorry, the week before.
Yeah. You know, he has San Fran this week, which is obviously disheartening. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, so actually, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not starting anybody against – I'm not starting running back San Fran, Jets, Cleveland. No, thank you.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I actually think that Memphis's team has better names than Neal's. So I,
agreed.
But the lack of a second, you know, solid quarterback is really hurting him too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking – when I previewed this league – I noticed a lot of the non-contenders have multiple quarterbacks, and one thing I was going to bring up is some of the contenders would be nice to try to go get one of those quarterbacks if it was doable.
The price is high.
Is very high. Maybe need to have some conversations about how you just said those quarterbacks don't score a lot of points in here. So maybe the price should come down on a league-wide phone. Because I've been in some leagues where quarterback pricing is ridiculous. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So, you know, all it takes is one manager to be like, okay, you know, I'll be reasonable, and then it'll start to slowly bring the price tag down in a league.
Chad told me he wanted like 104 or 105 value for Jordan Love. And I was like, man. Yeah, like I mean, can't argue with someone. I just thumbsed up. I can't argue with someone if that's how they value him. That's how they value him. But it's like, come on.
Oh, I'm totally good with arguing with it, but you're right. It doesn't. It's not going to get anywhere.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, I'll negotiate with someone, but like, I'm not going to. At that point, there is no negotiation.
Yep.
At that point, it would just be an argument over valuation, and nothing's going to get done. So.
Correct.
Like, because I value him as a late first.
Yeah, I mean, probably at this point, what he's shown, I mean, he's probably 107 to 110.
Yeah.
Where that third quarterback's going to come off the board most likely, unless they get a lot higher draft capital than we think.
I just traded him away 2 weeks ago to Neil in Einstein's. I got
sure did.
I got his 25 first, which could be good. I don't know. Could be mid. Who knows? And your 24 second, which is a late second. So probably be 211. Being honest with you.
Oh.
Sorry, but yeah.
Yeah, we're going to need it to be 12. We need one of those salty third place finishes for Mike and them.
Yeah, right. But yeah, it'll be 11 or 12. And so, I mean, I that's what I saw his value at. I sent that to Neil.
Yeah, that seems fair. So next, we have the roster that I really like, and one that y'all are going to have to watch out for in the coming years, and honestly, maybe this playoff. Mm. It's Snoop Jesus's. It starts with Jalen Hurts, C.J. Stroud, Kyler Murray, and Josh Dobbs. Javonte Williams, Bijan, Kyren. And then, as you just said, got Roshan. Taji Spears, too. Then has Ayuk, Waddle at receiver. Elijah Moore, Wandell, you know, not deep yet, but I'll get to the point of why I like this roster so much here in a second. Laporta, Komet, and Ingram, and Cade Otton, all at tight end. And then he has three first this year coming up with multiple picks in each round as well. This is going to be a beast. It's going to be a problem to deal with. He always does really well with rebuilds, and this is another example.
Yeah, he's done an excellent job with his rebuild. It's a young, talented team with high-end talent, three top 10 quarterbacks, you know, the top five tight end, depth at tight end. He just traded for Kyren Williams, by the way.
Oh, interesting. What
did he give up? He gave up Neal's 24 first, so a late-ish first for Kyren and a fourth.
Yeah, I love it. He said, screw it, I'm going for the playoffs. I like it.
Oh, yeah, smart move. Smart move. It was Chad. He traded with Chad. It was also offered to me. I turned it down. I thought I had enough going for my roster. Like,
yeah.
I didn't want to add it. Although I'm starting to believe that Kyren Williams is a good enough running back to hold that job, at least through next year.
Yeah, well, I have no faith in McVay, so I hope so for people that have him, but the way he treats running back, the way he treats running backs, I have no faith that the same guy.
He's got no loyalty to run.
Yeah, we'll do it again for another year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to believe. I'm not 100% there, but I just think it's a solid move when you have that. You know, he's still got three firsts. So,
yep.
You know, spending a first is, you know, to try to make a run this year with that roster.
And two of them are non-playoff first two. So it's solid. I like it. It's a really pretty roster, which doesn't mean much in fantasy, but at the same time, when it can put you in the playoffs coming in and out of a rebuild, you know, it's going to be tough. It's got really high ceiling players as well, so he could definitely make some damage.
Yeah. He's what I would call the dark horse of this league.
Yep, absolutely. And then the sixth seed, we have McKringleberry at the sixth spot.
Yeah, he's always got a good team, McKringleberry. Mm-hmm,
absolutely. And he's got Fields, Purdy, Russ, and Levis at quarterback. Kamara, Henry, Aaron Jones, Singletary, Gibson at running back. Puka, DK, Diggs, Hopkins, Cooks at receiver. And then tight end is the weak spot, but he has a lot of them, just hoping to pick the right one each week. He's got Gerald Everett. He's got Taysom Hill, Conklin, Fant, Knox, Moreau. It's a solid roster. It's a pretty good six seed, to be honest. Minus tight end, he's got something in the top 10 at each position, or at least the ability for a top 10 at each position.
He's definitely got a lot of talent. I mean, let's see. Taysom Hill's got 1, 2, 3, 4. Taysom Hill's got 5 top 10 tight end finishes this year.
Yeah.
So, like, that's who I would be starting.
He has to be back and playing. That's the problem.
Yeah. In a one-game tournament, I'm putting in the player that I think has the chance to score the most points, especially with Herbert being out. Everett's got to kind of take a back seat.
Yeah, it's a solid. Like I said, it's a very solid six seed, which is why he's 18-10. So, you know, it's a strong six seed.
Mm-hmm.
Could dominate. You know, with Henry having Houston 2 times. In the next 3 weeks, you know, heck, he could keep him afloat himself. I like it. It's definitely going to make it would make me nervous as the 3 seed to see that as my first matchup in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be a good game between, what is it? Yeah. That would be Neal and McKringleberry. Yeah. That's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game between Memphis and Snoop as well.
Yeah. I think I take the underdog on both of them.
Huh. I'm going to take Snoop, and let's see, Snoop's the favorite.
Oh, okay. Well, then in that case, I'm at the lower seed.
And I'll take the Kringleberry. Yeah, I'll take the lower seed on both sides too. But that's real close. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be really close games.
And then lucky for me, Snoop's in the other bracket.
Yeah, that is nice.
I get the winner of McKringleberry and Neil. Nothing against those two teams, but I feel like I got the better side of the bracket, even though Mike finished first, don't you?
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to see Snoop's team. It's just a really high ceiling team. I mean, he could come out and put 250 up in this league if everybody clicks in the same week. But I'll be honest, McKringleberry's got a good enough team to do something similar. Probably not quite that ceiling, but it's a pretty interesting. It's six solid teams.
All six teams have a chance. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't deserve to be there or is kind of, you know, kind of a pushover. I don't think that exists at all in this league. So
yeah, I agree.
It's going to be fun. Very interesting to watch. Who are you picking to win it all?
I guess I'll go chalk and take the undefeated team. I honestly would love to see him and Snoop the next week. I would have to look at matchups to make a decision on that, but I think it could be really fun. That matchup could be really interesting. The youth high ceiling team against, you know, just the absolute stud loaded roster.
I think my easiest path would be if Memphis were to beat Snoop and Mike for me.
Well, yeah.
That would be nice.
I agree with that. That would be great. Which Memphis does have the ability. It just, you know, at the end of the day, we're so used to Superflex, the second quarterback being there every week. It feels less appealing when looking at it from the outside.
Agreed. All right. That's Patreon 2. Which one do you want to do next? You want to do 10,
11? Yeah, let's go. We can do 10.
10? Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, we'll just go in numerical order.
All right. You're going to notice a theme in these leagues. There's one person that has a buy-in for one of these, but these are just the leagues that I'm in. That's why we're reviewing, because I have access to look at all the teams.
I'm sure you didn't invite me to the ones you didn't. That's probably what it really was.
These are all of my these are all my Patreon teams, except for Patreon 14, and we're not doing that.
Oh, no, we're not. We are definitely not.
Anybody, I think everybody is in that league. I don't think there's anybody that's not in that league, but anybody that's not in that league and doesn't know, that's the weird relegation European style league.
Yeah, it's frustrating is what it is. We're going to have some chats to the commissioner this off season. Just go ahead and get ready, Neil.
Nice.
And he's going to tell me no, but I'm still going to try.
All right, Patreon 10 is an IDP league. This is the first Patreon IDP league. It's shallow. So it's Superflex, start one running back, start one wide receiver, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 flexes. And then it is, I believe, 0.75 tight end premium.
Yes, that's what it looked like whenever I was looking through the scoring.
And then kind of a shallow. We start 7 IDP players. So it's not super shallow, but it's also not super deep.
Yeah, 2 at each position, D line, linebacker, DB, and then a flex.
Right.
The scoring in for IDP is it's kind of like a watered down IDP 1-2-3 scoring. So tackles are kind of not as important as most IDP leagues in this format. A solo tackle only nets you 1.25 points. So, you know, a sack in this league is 6. It makes a big difference, you know, to us have over 4 tackles just to get 1 sack score.
Yeah.
So
yeah, sacks, when you get a sack, it's definitely huge.
We can start off. Yeah, you're right over there.
Someone breaking into my basement.
Oh, wow.
Nah, it's just the neighbor. I don't know what the hell he's doing. Walking around outside of my basement.
I'll say, at least we're recording, so, you know, if we got you, if they break in.
I mean, it's 10 o'clock at night, dude. Go back inside, Joe. Anyway, back to the IDP league.
Yeah, looks like no median in this league.
No median. Like
you had a pretty even league. You had 7 with the winning records, and then, you know, had multiple of the high loss records, so it produced a couple high win teams as well.
Yeah, you got to feel bad for Jerry going 8-6 and not making the playoffs.
That's rough. Absolutely. That's rough. Tiebreakers are a pain, man. That's rough. Especially with IDP, it's really rough because if you don't pick the right guy, it's so easy to lose.
And it's so easy to not pick the right guy in IDP.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is.
It really doesn't matter how you win these leagues, to be honest.
IDP, the defensive players win you the league most of the time.
So, I mean, the scoring isn't huge in IDP in this league like you were going over. But I have won this league, by the way.
Nice. Yeah, most of your good players, it looks like, score between 10 and 15 in a good game.
Right.
So, I mean, it can be a quote-unquote difference maker, but, you know, it's not the – in the leagues that I commish that are IDP, the difference maker defensive players score 30. Some of them can score 60 or 70 when they have those crazy games where it's, you know, like Khalil Mack had almost 80 points this year when he had the, 6-sack game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, which that's, it's IDP 1-2-3 scoring. It's slowly becoming the standard. But either way, it's good. It's a very similar scoring structure, just cuts down the tackle bonuses.
All right. Well, let's go through the league. We've got Growler Pat in first place. You want to go through his league? His team, I mean?
Yeah, I like it. It's, 13-1, so pretty dominant. He's got Hurts, T-Law, Baker at quarterback. He has Kamara in a start one running back spot with Henry. And
wait. T-Law?
Did I say T-Law?
Lamar,
you're correct. Apologize. Thank you. So he has Hurts, Lamar, and Baker. Sorry.
Yeah.
Has Kamara, Henry, and that's about it at running back.
But it's start one.
Correct. So it works. You know, one of those two going to be able to start. Has Tyreek, Cooper Kupp, Cortland Sutton, Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson, Brandon Cooks at receiver. I guess we'll throw in Noah Brown too. He should be somewhat relevant when Stroud is back.
I guess.
0-5 this week, but that shouldn't be what continues.
I guess.
And then has Kelsey and Joku. It was smart enough to play him this week. Good job. And McBride at tight end. So great offensive starting lineup. I mean, it's a star-studded lineup.
A little age to it.
Correct. It's time to win.
Yeah, he needs to win this year.
How do you want to do the defensive? Do you want me to go through them, or?
Why don't you just tell me what you think of it overall?
Okay.
Because I think we'll lose a lot of people going through individual defensive players.
Stud linebackers. Roquan, Aluakon, and TJ Edwards, studs. Mm-hmm. Solid D-line and solid starters at DBs. And even has, honestly, a couple great linebackers on the bench too. So he's locked and loaded. No problems there either. It's a really, really good roster to win a championship this year.
Yeah, I like his roster. A little scared of it, to be honest with you. Obviously, he's got the studs in Tyreek and Kelsey. And Alvin Kamara has been a bit of a cheat code this year. And then he's got the two top 10 quarterbacks. So real hard to argue with this
team. Yeah, it's really good. And then McBride coming back too. So he'll plug him in that flex.
Right.
It's a really tough roster. But it is also very scary going future. You know, if you don't win this year, you're most likely just going to try to sell the vets in off season, or excuse me, when the season starts. Don't sell vets in the off season, people.
Right. I mean, unless you get what, you know, unless you get full value.
Very rarely does that happen. You know, you let somebody send you an offer for him, sure, but I usually don't even shop my vets until they start scoring points.
Right on.
And next right, up, let's look at the two seed, we have the Mr. Jesse himself again. Has his boy Tua Lipa. You're welcome for saying it like that.
Thank you, sir.
Stafford and Dobbs at quarterback. Has ETN at the RB slot with Swift and Dante Foreman, I guess, would be the other notable piece. Sure. Has
Damian Pierce.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Has Ayuk, Debo, Mr. Demario Douglas, DJ Moore. Has Christian Kirk, unfortunately. And that's about it. That's relevant at receiver. And has Kincaid and Hockenson as the big boy pieces at tight end. So, obviously, offensive side feels great. Defensive side, one stud at D-line, solid linebackers, and above solid defensive backs. You don't really have studs like the other roster, but you have guys that are going to produce you, but in this league will get you that 7 to 12 points.
I haven't set my lineup. You're missing Buda Baker.
Okay, yeah, he was on bye. Okay, so you do have a stud DB.
I do have one stud DB. Yeah.
Correct. Which Delpit's been really solid too, so.
Yeah, actually, I don't really know who to start, him or Dax Hill. They've both been really good this year. Terrell Bernard has just been a revelation.
Correct. I don't
go through these guys too much, but C.J. Mosley's always solid as a linebacker. Can you put a little respect on Josh Sweat, please?
No.
Is he having that bad of a year?
Yes. He has 5 double-digit point scores in this league all season.
3, 4, 5.
He has more under 4 stacks. Points. He has,
I mean,
four.
He's always games. Been the kind of guy. Yeah. He's always been the kind of guy that he gets a sack or you get nothing out of him. He's
not. That's not how you win in IDP. So, not, yeah, but respect and stay away over there.
Yeah, it was really hard losing Judon and Bosa.
Yes, that part is very true. And you lost Jordan Hicks and N'Kobe Dean.
Right.
So there were your studs.
Yeah, and I'm also missing Aaron Rodgers off this team. And, of course, every team of mine has Dulcich on the IR.
Yeah, yeah. I just quit bringing him up because he just makes me sad.
So this team is scrappy, is the way I'll put it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some high-end pieces, but for the most part, like with my depth, I've just been piecing it together. Like I said, just playing scrappy.
Yeah, you've obviously done decent, 11-3 in a bye, so it's got you far enough to get you here to not have to worry about a game this week, which is a huge advantage.
It is, right. So I'm automatically in a money game no matter what happens.
Correct. Yeah, it's obviously has the guys that have the ceiling ability, you know, Tua, ETN, Ayuk, Hock, Debo, even Kincaid, DJ Moore. I'm a little worried about Swift, but that's a different discussion for a different day.
Well, actually, let's have that discussion just a little bit, right? Okay. Our schedule's been ridiculous.
Correct.
And not only have we faced some tough defenses, but the game script has gotten away from us. I think, Seattle's very easy to run on. They give points up to running backs like crazy. I think they're one of the worst defenses against running backs. So I expect a lot of Swift this game. There were guys with signs outside of the Eagle Stadium that said run the ball all week. Sirianni said I'm coffee, by the way. Set them both.
That's nice of them.
Come on, come on. But like, there's so much chatter about running. The Eagles need to run the ball more, and we obviously know that it's very risky to run hurts so much. So, like, yeah, I expect these next few games, Swift is going to get leaned on.
Okay. Well, you gave me some confidence, and you told me to believe in him this offseason as much as I've loved him. So I believed in you then, and I'll believe in you now.
It was obvious to me that he was going to have some, like, really bad games.
And yeah.
We weren't. That makes sense. It was obvious that it was going to happen. Like, you know, KC, Buffalo, the worst one, San Fran, and then Dallas. Like, it was just – it was so set up against him. I think he actually did have a good game in there. And then I think I'm missing one of the
– Yeah, Buffalo had 14 for 80. Yeah. And KC, 12 for 76 and a touchdown.
Yeah. So, you know, there's really only been two down games, right? So
– Well, he's getting the yardage. That's the thing. It's just he's not getting the touchdowns. You know, I think Hurts has 12 rushing touchdowns.
Well, Hurts definitely steals a shitload of touchdowns from him.
That's the hard part, because otherwise, man, dude, he would be a top four back probably on the season.
And it just kills me that he's such a great receiving back, and he's shown, like, in certain games they'll do it, but, like, for the most part, they don't really want to put that in their scheme. And it just goes back to how much I hate our offensive coordinator right now.
Yeah, we'll discuss that in the offseason, but yes, I agree with you.
So, yeah, don't worry about Swift.
Okay. All right. I listened to you before the season. I had a ton of shares, and it's worked, so I'll listen to you this time as well.
Yeah, so, like, I'm excited about my starting lineup. I definitely can stand toe-to-toe with most teams if my team is on.
Correct.
Which it has been for most of the year. If I get any injuries at all, I'm in trouble. Because I'm very thin.
That seems pretty fair. I agree with that.
You know, if Demario Douglas doesn't play this week, I don't know. I think I'm starting Jameson Williams, because I really don't want to start Gerald Everett. Well, I'll probably start Gerald Everett, actually. Easton Stick would probably have to lean on him.
I think I would start Donta Foreman, to be honest.
Would you? I forgot I had him.
Well, he's got Cleveland, so that doesn't feel good either.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, he's ruled out in my mind.
I mean, maybe Parker Washington. Maybe.
Yeah, I just picked him up.
Maybe not. Down.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't love. Yeah, you're right. You don't need any more injuries.
And Demario Douglas isn't exactly a solid starter either.
No.
He had four good games, five good games, and they got hurt.
You don't have picks either to make a move with it, so.
No, I made a couple mistakes with the picks.
Yeah. So it's either way, you got a week to figure it out.
Yes, exactly.
So you just hope nobody on that team gets hurt this week and gives you a chance going to next week.
All right.
Next up, McCringleberry again in third.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
Stays in the playoffs.
Yep. He's got good teams everywhere. Seems like every league I'm in with him. It's a fight. It's like a dog fight.
He starts with T-Law, Jared Goff, Kenny Pickett. So doesn't really have a third quarterback. He's got Breece as his RB1. Starting Chuba Hubbard. And unfortunately lost Stevenson. And that's about it at running back. At receiver, got CeeDee Lamb. Starting Josh Downs, Terry McLaurin, Keenan Allen, and Quentin Johnston. Look at that. Quentin Johnston sighting with 15 points over here. Look at there.
Oh, yeah. He had a long one that he actually caught.
Hey. Loved it. I mean, they got to throw it to him. They don't have anybody else to throw it to.
Josh Palmer just came off on IR today.
Nice. Good to see. And then at tight end has Pat F. That's about it of relevance. He has Higbee, so I guess relevant there. And Jonnu, if you feel like trusting him.
I don't.
I agree. That's why I prefaced it. It's a defensive side. He is it's pretty solid. A bunch of older guys. minus Kenny Murray, but it's solid. It's producing guys. He even has a couple decent pieces on the bench.
What do you think about starting two corners as your DBs, though, instead of safeties?
I don't like starting corners at all in IDP.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
But that being said, this league does tame down tackles. So, if you think it's a guy that can get you an interception, heck, that right there is four tackles in itself. So,
yeah, that's true.
It's not the worst in this format. But, yes, I'm always a safety guy on IDP if possible. But it's an overall solid roster. Nothing feels great other than the T-Law, Bree, CD, Keenan, and, golf feels solid.
Right.
But if CD doesn't have a big game, it's most likely going to be a rough week for you. It's kind of how
I feel like his quarterbacks are sort of lower end QB1s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. Losing him with Keenan getting the down tick really hurts him. This is I'm sure Keenan floated him many weeks between Keenan and CD. I'm sure those two floated him a lot of W's this year.
I would expect Keenan to be solid still, but he's not going to be the league winner that we were talking about.
Correct.
The last 2 weeks.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, you don't see Keenan hardly ever go 6 for 12. Like six right. catches on 12 receptions with Herbert at quarterback.
Right. And, he had actually been scoring touchdowns, which is not really his game, but putting him up this year with, he had 7 touchdowns. But just like the targets are just insane. And the efficiency on the targets are so good. And you're just kind of not going to expect that. The targets will go down because the offense won't be as good. And the efficiency on the targets will go down because it's Easton Stick.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
which I thought he was out of the league after the Eagles cut him. By the way, it's neat to see him around. I guess.
Yeah, look at him starting the game.
He didn't look bad. He looked terrible. Actually, he's got a strong arm.
He does have that. That was the one thing he had coming out of college. He was tall and he had a strong arm.
Well, if they can protect him, I guess he's got a shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a good team. I think that he is missing a starter.
Yes, I agree.
Or two, because Josh Downs really, he had a couple spike weeks, and now it's been all Pittman all the time. And Alec Pierce has kind of been vulturing him the last few weeks as well, out of nowhere. So the offense is just not good enough to support 3 targets and their running game that they have.
Yeah, I agree with that. Very exactly how accurate there.
So, with him and Quentin Johnson, it's not ideal. Chuba's actually been a revelation.
Yeah, he
kind of saving his ass.
Someone who's watched every snap, he just plain old looks good. I don't know how else to say it. And I was a Chuba hater when we drafted him. Rookie year looked terrible, and he's just straight up impressed me. He's looked completely like a different running back, which is awesome to see. You love seeing guys that come out as whatever you want to view them, prospects, and develop. It's nice to see the NFL can develop players.
It does seem like he's changed his style. And one of the biggest knocks I thought that I had on him was his vision. He's always been powerful and fast, but it just didn't look like he had a really good plan out there most of the time.
Yeah.
And that seems to have changed quite a bit. So
absolutely.
Good job.
He's done. And the biggest thing for me was he quit running straight up. He got forward some now. Yeah. And it's like I said, man, he's just straight up been impressive. He can battle and get you those 2 or 3 yards when you have to have it. And he's also, if you can give him a cut lane, he's getting you 6 yards. Which is nice to see. Get a lot of that from, like I said, the development's been really impressive.
Right on. All right. Yeah. Let's move on to the team that I'm very, very scared of.
Yeah. I was about to say this is a banger that he unfortunately has been hurt hard with injuries, but it's still a really good team.
He's taking shots.
Yeah. My dog Storm Bless. We're in a ton of leagues together. He's always competitive or has a really good rebuild. He's a very good dynasty manager.
Formerly Young Buns.
That's right. I still talk to him in the DMs under that. I haven't committed totally to Stormblessed.
I don't know why I changed Young Buns.
I don't either.
Name for whatever reason.
Yeah, just heck yeah.
Laugh every time.
So he's got Mahomes and Browning at the starting quarterback position, has DeVito, and unfortunately has Burrow in the IR. He has Austin
and Eckler. Daniel Jones.
Yeah, you're right. Excuse me. You're correct. He has Eckler. He has Saquon. He has Mostert and Aaron Jones at running back, and Gibson. We'll give him Gibson too. And he has Amon-Ra, Diggs, Mike Evans, T. Higgins, which I should have known. He's got T everywhere. Yeah, everywhere. Has Zay Jones, Lockett, Cooper. And then at tight end, he's running Mr. Tanner Hudson because, unfortunately, he lost Mark Andrews. It's about it at tight end. He really doesn't have anything else. So he's going to be rocking that. Defensive side, got a really two excellent pieces at D-line. One of the top linebackers is Zaire Franklin. Solid DBs, not great, but solid.
I beg to differ on Byard, but
He's a great player, but he's not a huge dynasty scoring producer.
And especially the way the Eagles are using him to cover tight ends.
Yeah.
So he's not really a big tackle guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm talking, I don't mean in NFL terms when I say things.
Yeah. And I don't even know who Ernest Jones is.
He's a tackling machine for the Rams.
Is he?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's a really solid roster. Has a couple solid pieces on the bench as well for the defensive side. And he lost Talanoa Hufanga as well. So he has been ravished with injuries. So it hurts, but he made it into the playoffs. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's all you can ask for. And he's got a good enough roster to still make a pretty big push.
CJGJ is not a small loss either, actually. Guy that had six interceptions last year, to not get anything out of him is really tough.
Yeah, man, like I said, it's a really solid roster that's been destroyed with injuries, but he's still making a name for it. So, yeah. Doing well. I wouldn't want to see this first round, that's for sure.
No, not at all. I was really, really fighting hard for that bye. Trust me. All right, let's move on to Steve, Bean Doggy.
Oh, Bean Doggy.
Don't kiddo my TJ Watt.
He has Allen and Mr. Drew Locke as QB2 because he has Geno.
Yikes.
Because he has Geno, so we'll give him Geno. And he lost to Sean Watson. And then he's got Kyron, Rashad White, Zach Moss, Joe Mixon, Jalen Warren, Piran, Gus Edwards. Nice. He does have Zeke on the bench and James Conner. At receiver, he has JSN. Gabe Davis, Jerry Jeudy. Doesn't really have receivers.
No, he doesn't.
Tight end, he has Laporta, Ferguson, Likely,
Kittle.
And Kittle. Yeah, so it's a solid offense, guys. It is. It's an odd team. It looks like he's coming out of a rebuild, is what I'm gathering.
Yeah, he's either added a few veterans or didn't trade off a few veterans. He's probably more likely. I wish I could. Well, let's look. Did he trade for Kittle?
No, he has Kittle at the startup.
He's had Kittle. Yeah, he's just held Kittle through a startup. What about Mixon? Oh, yeah.
So he traded Mixon and Piran for DJ Moore and Sky Moore last December.
I was so happy to get that done, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a great deal. Especially if he's really good now.
Yeah, I traded DJ Moore away and then traded back for him and got more value.
Nice.
That's a story for another day. Old MacGruber.
The defense is what's pushing him. I'm going to go ahead and say these because this is pretty ridiculous. TJ Watt, Nick Bosa, Bobby Wagner, Quincy Williams, Jaquan Brisker, Paulson Adebo, who I'm guessing is a replacement for a guy, and Ivan Pace. Which anybody does play IDP, please make sure Ivan Pace is not only rostered but starting. And if he's not, go trade for him.
Who is he?
He is the rookie undrafted linebacker for the Vikings. He was a tackling machine at Cincinnati. He was undersized when undrafted. And with Jordan Hicks being hurt, he finally got his second chance at a role as a starter. The first time when I don't remember who got hurt, he blew up the beginning and part of the season. He's just a damn good football player. That's what he is.
All right. Well, apparently Dave Donaldson already knows that because he's on his team in another league. The only other IDP I'm in.
Good. At least somebody knows.
He picked him up in August off waiver. So, yeah. Apparently, Dave Donaldson knows all about Pace.
Good job. I think I have him in every single IDP league I'm in. But yeah, the defense is pushing him on this, and he's got Hassan Reddick on the bench. So, got another D lineman ready to go if something happens.
Right on. Yeah, it's a really good defensive team. Whether you play IDP or not, you know those names.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's why I went ahead and said it. You know those names. Yeah, that's solid.
So this is a good team.
Yeah.
I think his defense could drive him through the playoffs. I'm going to call him the dark horse just because it would be a different way of winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's a little scary, the receivers not having any from some – I love receivers.
Yeah.
So that part's scary, but he does have a plethora of running backs that can put up points. So,
and he's deep at tight end, and it's 0.75 premium.
Three good tight ends. So, yeah, it's a fun way to build a roster. It's different, and I like seeing that when it works. You know, you don't see a lot of it work when different roster constructions, but this one does.
Nice. All right. Last playoff team, Wolfie. I think Wolfie's in a little trouble. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I didn't see his bye week players. All right. Go on. Run down Wolfie.
Okay. He's got Flacco and Kyler and Howell and Famous Jameis, just in case. And he has Jerome Ford, Josh Jacobs, Jerick McKinnon, Jamal Williams at running back. It's A.J. Brown, Thielen, Tyler Boyd, Pittman, Waddle, Wandell. And that's about it at receiver. And then has Pitts. And hopefully Ertz gets signed somewhere and plays. And Taysom Hill.
I think I'd be starting Taysom Hill over Pitts.
Yeah, he's got to play, though. Remember, he was out last week. That's why.
Taysom Hill was out.
Yeah. The starting lineups.
Oh, I didn't realize he missed the week. I have no shares of him. So
I don't either. I will never. He is the one in fantasy football. He will never see me with a share. Defensive-wise, it's a
–
it's a stud lineup as well, too. This looks like that's what's been pushing them forward. Myles Garrett, Donald, Reed Blankenship, which got hurt. DeMario Davis, Al Shaeir. I mean, it's a Antoine Winfield. It's a great starting lineup for defense.
Has Reed been that good this year?
He's been solid. Like, he's the leading tackler on the team.
Yeah. On a weird defense.
Yeah, I mean, he's double-digit points. Looks like all but 3 weeks. Oh, four, considering this week. But he got hurt in the game, so I can't count that. But yeah, he's been really good. It's a good team. Couple of good defensive pieces on the bench, too. I like it. Has Will Anderson, which is lovely to see on an IDP team. And lost Chubb at the beginning of the year. So it's a... it's an odd team as well. but it's also one that I could see surprise somebody the first week of the playoffs.
Yeah, right on. All right. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I got distracted a little bit. I got a work text, but I'm back with you.
I figured you were trying to make a trade, so I was just letting you sit there and think.
No, somebody just called out, but that's all right. I'll just fire their asses.
Oh, there we go. On camera, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Colt, you there?
All right, so for the matchups, we have Stormblessed versus Ben Doggy as the 4 and the 5, and Wolfie versus McCringleberry. That's tough.
I'm going Stormblessed.
I agree.
Just because I think he's got such a solid team, but I'd really love to see him lose.
I think it's possible. Ben Doggy's got a good team to stay afloat. That's tough. I mean, he's projected more this week, too.
He does. You're right. And I'm going to go McCringleberry. Wolfie's got a good team and all, but a little thin, and I think McCringleberry will be able to outlast him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll take that as well.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. I'm rooting for Wolfie. Love to face him in round two. I feel like I got the easier bracket in this one, too.
Careful thinking all that. They come and make you realize you don't real quick.
Yeah, I hear you. But I'm the number 2 seed, and I don't know. It feels like the 4 and 5 seeds are really, really tough.
Yeah, they normally are. That's one thing I've seen looking through leagues is that 4 and 5 seeds tough.
Yeah. All right, right on. Who you got?
I'm good with taking. I don't want to pick the 1 seed again, so I'm gonna pick your team.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I think the 1 seed's the better team, but I also don't like his matchup at all in week 2. I think both of those teams are very solid. Yeah. So I think he has a better chance to lose in week 2 of the playoffs than you do.
Well, that would be a beautiful thing. Maybe Young Buns can pull a couple out and then have a couple more injuries in week 17. That's my prediction.
Praying on the downfall.
Hey, man. That's the way the world works. You got to get ahead of the curve.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, Growlers Pat definitely has the best team. That's for sure. But I also don't like his first matchup nearly as much.
Right on. All right, that's Patreon 10, IDP.
Well, we've kicked up far. Do you want to do one more?
I mean, we're at an hour 17.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't.
I really wanted to do 11.
Me too.
That's my favorite team of all time.
Well, we'll make you hold off another week for it then.
We will. Yeah, we'll probably come back and do this again next week.
Yeah.
So just to let everybody know, we're going to do next week and the week after, and then the fantasy playoffs will be over, and we will be into the fantasy off season. So we're going to take a little break. We're going to catch our breath, recharge, come back strong, and hit you with rookie content beginning in February. Yep. Austin didn't like that idea.
I didn't, but hey, I'm a team player as well, so it's all good.
I swear I announced this last week as well.
You did not, but it's okay.
I did not. Okay.
That's okay.
I thought I did. I meant to.
Before we finish off, though, I have a very interesting trade offer in that I think is worth the dynasty discussion.
Okay.
It is from our co-host who didn't have enough time to be on here but had enough time to send me a trade offer.
Okay.
Mr. Mike Casper.
Okay.
He is a number 1 seed in a league, surprise, but I won't give him any bigger of a head. I'm not contending, but I'm slowly on the come up. I have CeeDee Lamb. He has Justin Jefferson. And he sent it straight up.
Wait. He's sending you Jefferson for Lamb.
Straight up.
Take it.
So this is where, this is why I wanted to have a rankings discussion. I thought we were going to do it in January, but we'll let that slide as well. I think Lamb's in the same tier as JJ. And to be honest, I don't really have a problem with them saying that they're 1A, 1A. He's attached to the better quarterback without question marks. Same age. Well,
you don't know what's going to happen in the offseason with either team.
Correct, but Dak's not going anywhere is my point.
We'll see. I mean,
why would he go anywhere? Let's hear that.
Isn't he a free agent?
If he is, it would be my surprise. I could be wrong, but let's check that. They have a potential out. He is not a free agent.
Okay.
He is on the books for one more year, and he's technically void years for two more after that. So they most likely extend him to get the void years off.
Gotcha. Okay.
But he is there one more year. I don't know, man. It feels like they're the same tier player. We finally have seen what CD can do. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, JJ's done it for 2 years straight, but he's done it with an uber-accurate quarterback that I'm worried's not there next year. I don't know. It's a discussion that, honestly, I wanted to have with everybody on here, so we had four opinions on this because I think you could have four different opinions on it. But
you can only have two.
Well, no, because you also have to put in Chase in this discussion, in my opinion, in that upper tier.
Oh, who's in the tier? I see.
Yeah.
Well, if you're putting all of those guys in the tier, then I put AJ Brown there too.
He's number four for me, not in the same tier.
He's absolutely in the same tier with Lamb for me. Lamb is just in a hot streak, and AJ Brown's not. Earlier in the year when AJ Brown was on his hot streak and Lamb wasn't, most people would have had AJ Brown above, when he was looking like the clear wide receiver two, basically behind Tyreek.
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly think I have Lamb above Chase. I'm tired of the hype with Chase and not getting the production.
Whenever Burrow's in there, he gets the production.
He doesn't, though. What does he finish well, this season?
All right. Well, Burrow was hurt for half the year. Once he came back and started playing well, so did Chase.
Yeah, and
Chase,
we're obviously pushing, very slim margins here.
Yeah,
hence why they're in the same tier. But the whole point was, I think CD's in the tier now.
I did not.
I mean, I don't really know how. What else can he do to
be there? You're working purely off recency bias.
It's not, though. It's recency bias. It's been since week five. He has had zero games under 17 points.
Okay, I hear you. I'm sorry. He's just not there. He just hasn't. He's just not there. And neither is AJ Brown for me.
Okay.
Jefferson and Chase are in a tier of their own.
Okay, I can after
the
season Jefferson...
when everything is done and the Cowboys have choked in the playoffs, and we're having this discussion, I may change my mind. But as of right now, I'm not.
I can understand why Jefferson's above him. That doesn't bother me. It's the Chase one that I just don't see it.
Yeah, and maybe I need to look at it a little closer. You're hitting me with this raw. It's just off the top.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, which this kind of threw me off because I wasn't expecting a Lamb for JJ trade. I feel like I should accept it, but I also feel like come May of next year, after the rookie draft and the Vikings don't have their answer at quarterback, still am I regretting that?
I don't think so. And if that's the case, then Why wouldn't you like Garrett Wilson at a 25 late first for Lynn?
I mean, I like it. I don't have a problem with it. It's fine. I don't remember what the context was. I feel like there was a context reason for that.
I made the trade.
Yeah, I remember it was the...
It was probably the Tua Trevor part that you didn't like.
I don't think I had a problem. You were getting CD, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't have a problem with it then. The problem I will have is I think this time next year, Garrett Wilson is up there in the discussion of in wide receiver 3, 4, 5 in Dynasty.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but if you're saying CeeDee Lamb is in that top tier right now, mm-hmm. then like it's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, that's fine. Like I said, I get it.
Chad didn't like it either, by the way.
Yeah, I just think I don't like selling an elite player at a downtime.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's kind of where I'm at with Wilson. I think he is elite. And I think we'll have a chance to see that elite before you. Same thing with CD. Like, everybody was out on CD last year. I remember that. They were tired of him. He hadn't done what he wanted, which is maybe exactly what I'm saying about Chase.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, it definitely could be. And I held on to him, and this is what he's doing now. And I think Chase has the ability to do it as well, but I don't see why they're not in the same tier.
Right on. Right on. It's an interesting discussion to have.
But I'll have to sit here and think about now if I'm going to make that trade or not.
My whole point with Lamb and Wilson is that CeeDee Lamb is at Garrett Wilson's ceiling now.
Okay.
And there are a million things that can happen to keep Garrett Wilson from reaching his ceiling. Aaron Rodgers could not come back. He could come back and not be the same player after an Achilles. That's absolutely on the table at his age. it was on the table that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be good at all this year because he wasn't good last year either. It was just all speculation and narrative talk.
Yeah,
that he was actually going to be good and go on this fire tour, which I believed, by the way. Did make some trades for him. And then you have just the fact that he's a young player and may or may not develop in the way that CeeDee Lamb already has, it takes a lot to actually get to the elite tier, right? Garrett Wilson has shown flashes, but man, there's a lot of players that have shown flashes. So is JSN, but there is a long way to go.
Don't for you both dare of those put guys. Them in the same tier of receivers. No.
There's a long way to go for both of those guys. That's all I'm saying. Garrett Wilson is nowhere near close. His ceiling.
Oh, which is a good thing. That's a good thing because he's already.
It is a good thing, but like I said, there's
consistently elite.
There's a million things that can happen along the way to keep him from reaching his ceiling, and CeeDee Lamb's there. So if I am paying a late 25 first to just guarantee Garrett Wilson's ceiling,
it's
a no-brainer to me.
It's a good rationale. I get it. But I think when that happened, I remember saying, I think it's a mistake that you could have this time next year. That I think that was what my issue with it was. But at the end of the day, if you're playing to win a championship, you take that late first and you go try to win a championship because CeeDee is definitely the difference maker.
Right. And it's not like you know, I'm trading for some old player that's going to expire on my roster. CeeDee Lamb's 24.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's this elite piece on my roster in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love him. He's everywhere on my roster, so I'm all for it.
And that was my first share.
Oh, welcome to the club.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I hate it. It feels so gross.
No, it doesn't. Watching that 30-point per game stuff feels really good.
In those disgusting blue and silver colors. Oof,
God. I'm sure you felt terrible on, what was that, Sunday night? Him just scoring 30 points for you?
I had the bye clinched, so I wasn't even looking at his points.
Gotcha. It probably felt really good when you were sitting there. He just caught another one, and then he caught another one.
I was looking at Sixers highlights that night. I don't know what you're talking about. Going over potential Phillies trades.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Right on, man. All right, this was fun. We only got through two.
Yeah, right? we talked too much this time. But it's also in the playoffs. It's harder to go quick through that.
Yeah,
every team's good.
Right, and I wanted to give every team, you know, the time and the attention that they deserve, because these men have spent a lot of time and effort on these teams, and they're all great. We haven't looked at a team that I don't think there's been a team that doesn't deserve to be there. I feel bad for Jerry. I feel like Jerry's kind of the odd man looking out here. He deserved to be in the playoffs, but you know, at 8-6, that's tough. But it feels like that's happened to Jerry a lot this year.
It must be a Lions thing. That must be
in his fantasy life and in his sporting life. Yeah, it's a Lions thing. It's a Michigan State thing, apparently, these days. I'm sorry, Jer. We love you, brother. We're not piling on. Trust me, I know. I'm a Philly fan, so we've been through some real dark times.
Yep, I have no room to talk in any aspect, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all got some good racing down there.
I got good basketball, too. Careful.
Hornets?
College.
Oh, okay. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some good college ball.
We do.
I'll give you that.
That's about it. Professional sports is not there. We are good at racing, that is for sure.
And there's some really nice golf courses.
Oh, yeah. I'm not good at that either, so I have no help
Neither
here.
Neither am I. My leg flies out when I'm trying to hit the ball.
Yeah. I played baseball way too long to be good at golf.
Me too. Yes, sir. Me too. Yeah. That whole turning your hips instead of shift transfer, it's so totally different.
Yeah.
All right, man. Anyway, thank you for joining me.
Heck Austin. Yeah, man. Had a blast.
Me too. I want to remind everybody to subscribe to the DWZ Network. You get our show, the Dynasty War Games. I mean, what more could you want?
Yeah, 90 minutes of fun. What else?
Yeah, but then you also get the big show. We're not even the big show. You get Memphis and Jerry. And then you get the Rookie Rundown with Dallas Hyder. He'll be back strong with that coming real soon. I think he's been doing hits on Memphis's show recently. But we're about to hit Dallas Hyder time real soon. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have Dallas Hyder on this show as well.
Nice.
Periodically through the off season, because he brings a different perspective. He definitely does his own work, and he's not just out there reading and spouting what he's read from other people. He does his own work. So so do we. We tend to get a lot of different opinions on rookies. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Let me talk about some of those busts, Chad's killing
us. I'm still waiting to hear.
All right, Austin, I'll see you next week. Good luck with the Panthers this week. Maybe we see
you. Oh, yay.
All right, that's been Dynasty War Games, and we are out.
Peace. Chase my problems and time keeps on dragging. Can't get away from the fact I've been slacking. Oh, despite the cost, you know I got to trot on. Single into a double. Every curve we face along the road, it is the trouble. Try to wreck, we try to turn, we into rubble. Say it's not easy, oy, oy. Won't you believe me? Oh no. From the sound like it's a cliche, hey. But the one thing we know, you only reap that you sow, and the crop that you owe today, tomorrow goes without. Lost in the fray, and I can't find my way back home.